And welcome to the Hour of Hope. Merry Christmas. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Vroman of Safe Harbor Church in Accutane, Alaska. I hope you are having a great day and a great month of December as we continue to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. That's right. Every program this month is going to be focused on the celebration of Christmas, Christ Mass, the one born in Bethlehem. I want to say to you first, though, I always try to mention it, apradio.org, apradio.org, apradio.org. Please check that website. That is the website that hosts this radio station. Isn't it incredible to finally have an amazing, amazing local radio station? I hope that you will do your part to get the word out. Hey, if you did your part, and I did my part and told people out in our area and said, hey, do you know we have a radio station? We could see this station blow up. We could see it grow by hundreds of new listeners this week just because you told somebody. You can listen on the airwaves, as some of you are doing, or you can listen to on apradio.org. So please do your part. And if you do have the financial ability, even if it's $10, $100, whatever, it's not cheap to do an quality radio program like we have in our area. So please do your part if you're able. Not support the program, support the radio station at apradio.org. Let me open by prayer, but before that, we're going to listen to a song about the manger. And I wanted to read you a verse in Luke 2:7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes that would have been like really tight clothes so he couldn't hardly move, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, a manger is basically a food trough, and I was in Israel one time and I saw one in Capernaum where Peter was from, if you know Peter from the Bible, and it was concrete. So maybe Jesus was laid in, stone. A stone manger. Can you imagine that? The Savior of the world, God incarnate in an old food stall where the animals would, food trough where the animals would eat from. That's some serious humility. But our Savior did that. He died on the cross, gave up his rights to die on the cross. And if we will receive the gift he gives us of him, we'll have eternal life, the Bible says. Let me open in prayer, and then let's listen to this wonderful song about the manger. Lord, thank you again for this time to come together and focus on hope. I thank you for everyone that's listening. I pray you would bless them, encourage them. If they don't have the hope of Jesus, they would experience that. But all of us would experience and grow in that hope. Thank you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Bless this radio station. Amen.
They're putting decorations up in front of my old church, the shepherds and the wise men in the hay. There's Joseph and his Mary looking down at heaven's birth, and the angels saying, don't you be afraid. It makes me stop and think about how you showed up down here in a humble bed made of nails and wood. You could have picked a palace, something more fit for a king, but then the story wouldn't be as good. From the highest of the high to the lowest of the low, that stable tells a story of the distance you will go. For the lonely and the lost, there's no sinner too far gone to find a savior. Lying in the manger,
there's a star up in the sky that's calling all the least of these. Come make your way to where your hope is found. If I'm honest, some days I feel too far out of reach, but the manger reminds me love reached down. From the highest of the high to the lowest. of the low. That stable tells a story of the distance you will go. For the lonely and the lost, there's no sinner too far gone to find a savior. Lying in the manger.
By a rugged cross made from nails and wood.
And the tears fill up my eyes. You didn't have to give your life. But then the story wouldn't be as good. From the highest of the high to the lowest of the low, that stable tells a story of the distance you will go. The lonely and the lost, there's no sinner too far gone to find a savior. Lying in the manger.
So much of what we see on TV, on the internet, paintings, whatever, that portray biblical stories or stories that are in the Bible are always so pretty and the details all work out. Think of the nativity scene. Okay, there's an example. There is no way this baby is born in a stall with animals and they all pose with the shepherds just like a perfect photo. But that's an example of what I'm talking about. I want to talk today about a song, a carol that you know and is dearly loved. The time frame is 1843 or around 1847. Anyway, in the 1840s. It's a small town, and I'm going to spell the town because I can't pronounce. In France, it's Roquemaure. There's a local poet named Placide, Placide, last name Cappeau. The priest in that town says, would you write a poem to commemorate that we've renovated the church organ? So he composes a poem. Now, in the area, there's a very popular composer whose last name is Adam. So we've got Capua, Cappeau, he writes the poem. Adam composes the music. Well, the song is shared with the poem, and it was a hit. The only problem was, notice I said a priest, so this is the Catholic Church. Every church has these kinds of things. It turns out that Adam was Jewish, the one who wrote the music. Legend has it he was Jewish. And the problem with that is they didn't accept Jesus as God or really celebrate the birth of Jesus. So the guy who wrote the music to this carol, he was Jewish. Then the man who wrote the poem or the words, he ended up renouncing the church and becoming a socialist. So here you have the words of this carol written by a socialist, the music written by a Jew who didn't celebrate even Christmas. Well, that didn't sit very good with the Catholic Church in France, and for approximately two decades, they banned this song. Can you believe that? They banned it because they're not going to have a song they're singing that's a non-Christian Jew and someone who doesn't renounces the Jews. I don't even believe any of it. I'm a socialist. So as the song gained in popularity in France, because it did, John Sullivan Dwight, who was an American writer, he discovered this song in 1855. And he changed a little bit of the lyrics. He changed just the third verse. Truly he taught us to love one another. His love, his law is love, and the gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. Slave is our brother. And in his name all oppression shall cease. He published it in his magazine, Dwight's Journal of Music. And it became so popular in the United States, especially among the abolitionists, who were, of course, anti-slavery. Because 1855, we're dealing with the fallout of the Civil War. You know this song, but it's amazing to think about. We have the conflict of a Jew, and we have a socialist, and then we have an abolitionist, somebody who played in the abolitionist, and it became one of the most beautiful songs, which you know as, of course, Oh Holy Night. I got my information. I could have gotten a lot of place from Crystal Canvanus and the intriguing history of Oh Holy Night. We're going to listen to one of the most beautiful renditions of that song with David Phelps, Oh Holy Night.
Oh Holy Night, the stars are bright.
Shall see. raise, we let all within us praise His holy name. Oh, Lord, You know the peace. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh,
I hope if you're able, you'll go to YouTube and watch Bill and Gloria Gaither, O Holy Night, David Phelps, because what was amazing is he starts out singing the song, and then you just can tell from the audio that the crowd just gets swept into it, and it was just so powerful, and I would encourage you to watch that video. Again, Bill and Gloria Gaither, O Holy Night, live, David Phelps. You can find it on YouTube. Well, we are going to turn the page and now try to provide some context to those of us who are missing people, missing loved ones during this holiday season. This is the first Christmas without my mom. She passed away this year. And I know you probably have had people pass away, maybe through different reasons. And I want to tell you, grief is okay. Sometimes we think it's bad to have grief. The shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Because Lazarus had died and he cared about him. And I just really want you to realize it is okay to feel sad. Grief is okay. Now, don't hurt yourself. If you get to the deep, dark place where you're just not climbing out, you need to talk to somebody. You need to process that grief. Grief counseling is wonderful, but please know it is okay to grieve. It's okay to talk about that. Maybe you have to tell a friend or a family member, say, hey, I need to share something. I'm really struggling. And that person will know, I need you. Just tell them, I need you to listen to me. Whatever it is, but grief is okay. On today's program, this song we're going to listen to is Sweetest Gift. And in it, it reflects someone that has lost a loved one. It opens with the person who's going to be playing the piano, that they lost an adult child that year. This was 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. And it's the piano guys. I hope you will be blessed and encouraged, not in a happy ha-ha-hee-hee way, but in a way that you'll feel comfort from this song as you maybe are dealing with grief, the sweetest gift.
So last year was a really tough year for us. We lost our daughter, Annie. People talk about grief, pain, fear, sorrow. All of these words can't really describe how you feel when you really go through the loss of a loved one. And even though we held on to hope that we would somehow see her again, it was just a brutal time that we were going through, right at Christmas. And it felt pretty hard to celebrate. And then I found this song. It was just this video on Facebook by this Christian artist, and he was singing about the very struggle I was having. As my wife and I listened to the words of this song, it expressed exactly what we were feeling. And it also gave us what we needed at the time, and that was comfort. So many people struggle with loss at this time of year, not just me. If you are missing someone this Christmas, I want to dedicate this song to you. And I also want to dedicate it to Annie, my sweet Annie, who I miss very much.
this time. 'Cause you're not here to celebrate with me. Tears fill my eyes and memories flood my mind as I place your ornament upon our tree. Although this year I have a broken heart, it gives me hope and joy as I remember where you are. You're with the Son of God, you're with the Prince of Peace, you're with the one we're celebrating. And that thought amazes me. Sometimes I still break down, grieving that we're apart. But the sweetest gift is knowing where you are. You're with the Son of God. Got your picture in the frame, in a stocking with your name. Oh, God knows it's been hard letting go. And I can't bring you back, but I'll see you again. And oh, that thought is healing to my soul. I'll miss making angels with you in the snow. I guess instead you will be singing with them all around God's throne. You're with the Son of God, you're with the Prince of Peace, you're with the one we're celebrating. And that thought amazing me. Sometimes I still break down, grieving that we're apart. But the sweetest gift is knowing where you are. 'Cause you're with the Son of God. And I know the Christmas season was your favorite time of year. You love to help us decorate our tree. But now that you're with Jesus, can't imagine how you feel. 'Cause he's the one who bled and died upon the tree for you and me. You're with the Son of God, you're with the Prince of Peace, you're with the one who's celebrating. And that thought amazes me. Sometimes I still break down, grieving that we're apart. But the sweetest gift is knowing. Yes, the sweetest gift is knowing where you are. Yes, the sweetest gift is knowing you're in His arms. You're with the Son of God.
It was a long, cold winter of 1863. The war between the states raged mercilessly. Antietam, Vicksburg, Gettysburg, Chickamauga. Sons, fathers, and brothers from Mississippi to Maine had not come home for Christmas, and many would never return. poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow sat in Cambridge, Massachusetts, pondering the state of the world around him. Longfellow had been widowed for 2 years since his wife's dress tragically caught fire, and his son, Charles, was now seriously wounded, having been injured on December 1st by a Confederate bullet at the Battle of New Hope Church. As he sat nursing his son on the long road to recovery, listening to the church bells pealing forth Christmas tidings, he struggled with the message of the angels proclaiming, "Peace on earth, goodwill towards men." And he took up his pen and wrote.
It's encouraging to know that we can always experience Jesus, and we can always experience hope even when this world is hopeless, when we're going through like that man who wrote, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, we can all relate. We've all been through different things, and we all need the hope that can only come through Jesus Christ. We're going to start our Bible study, and then we're going to finish up with some more music. But in Luke chapter 2, we read the birth of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, we had studied last week, and you can always go to apradio.org and find previous programs. That's the perspective on Jesus' birth from Joseph. This is more the perspective from Mary. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John give different perspectives on Jesus. Matthew's written to Jews. Luke is written to a different group of people. So we're going to read in Luke chapter 2, the birth of Jesus. Let's start with verse 1. Let me pray first. Lord, pray with me. Bless this Bible study. I pray that you would help people understand about the hope we have in Jesus. Thank you for him being born in Bethlehem. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that I love about the Bible is it gives us real times, real people. These are like, if I said to you, this is, some of you may be listening in other countries, but this is in Alaska, so America. If I say, hey, President Biden or President Trump or President Obama, you right away know who that is. And you have an opinion. Why? Because he's the President of America. If I say, hey, Anchorage, Alaska, if you're in Alaska or maybe around America, you know Anchorage. If I say Sandpoint, Alaska, well, some of you are listening in Sandpoint, where this wonderful radio station, apradio.org, is located. If I say Accutan, some of you know it. These are real places. You have experience there. In the same way, look at what it says here. And it came to pass in those days, well, what days, Luke, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. Now, Caesar Augustus, he was made ruler of the Roman Empire. He was a ruler of Roman Empire from 27 BC to 14 AD. So just like we know President Biden, they would have known Caesar Augustus. And what did he send a decree out? People talk about democracy and everything in Rome, but it's not like our democracy in America. This is very much a dictator democracy. Caesar Augustus, it says that all the world should be taxed. So he sends out an official decree, meaning it's official, you got to do it. Everybody's got to be taxed. You don't need to be a Bible scholar to know nobody likes to be taxed, give up their money. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Syria is a real place. It's over, you can Google map it, you can look on your map. Sometimes on my phone, I'll Google map like Syria from Alaska or something. And it's like, this is how to get there. And of course, it's impossible, but I find it interesting. So this taxing was first made when Cyrenius became titled Dumur, the governor, after the Galatia-Sicily campaign in 12 BC. So he's over this area. And all went to be taxed. Yeah, because if you didn't, you're breaking the law and you're going to be in trouble. Everyone into his own city. So people, it wasn't just like me where I'm from Glasgow, Missouri. Or maybe you're from an area in Alaska. It's not just like, oh, okay, I know I graduated from this area. That's my home area. No. It's the idea of you are connected. There's records that you belong to that city or town. So you, for example, let's say if Alaska was this time and the governor had absolute power. He says, okay, we're going to have a tax. You would have to go to what town pretty well you were registered at. And for most people, it would have been where you were born, or now wait, if you're married, and again, different time, you would go to where your husband's from. So we come over here, and a lot of people would have been married to somebody from that area because they were very much arranged marriages. So they all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Okay, let's break that down. That's quite a lot. Joseph, if you missed last week's program, go to apradio.org, listen to it. It's right at the end, but we looked at Matthew chapter 1. Joseph was engaged to Mary. She comes up pregnant because of the Holy Ghost. God tells her to marry Mary. That's kind of, to marry Mary. And he marries her, and now they have to go. We'll see in just a minute. But Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth. You can go to Nazareth today. It's on a hill. It's in the Sea of Galilee area. It was a military stronghold. But he has to go to the city of David. Why? Because that's his lineage, like I mentioned, to a town called Bethlehem. Well, he has to go about 90 miles. There's no Uber, there's no car, you just got your feet. So imagine if you are having to walk 90 miles. Okay, let's add a little bit more. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Ladies, if you were 9 months pregnant and your husband came to you and said, "We've got to go, because it has been commanded," and she'd say, "Yeah, I heard about all of it," and you'd be like, and it would occur to you sometime when you heard that, "Oh, Joseph is from that area's family. We've got to walk 90 miles, and I'm 9 months pregnant." Get the picture. I love the details of the Bible, because it doesn't sugarcoat things. But they do it because you've got to. There's no exemption. You just have to do it. And it was so that while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. There's no mention of a donkey or a mule or anything. It just mentions they got to go these 90 miles from Judah, Nazareth, to Bethlehem. Can you imagine what that woman was going through? Sometimes we deify Mary, and in Luke earlier, I want to address that real quick. So are we to worship Mary? I can just throw it out there. Now, I'm going to go by the Bible, because the Bible is objective. Now, people interpret different ways, and I'm just going to read you what Mary says. So if we're supposed to worship we're supposed to pray to Mary so she'll intercede for us. Let me read you a verse in Luke chapter 1, verse 27. "And my spirit," that's where the person really lives, "has rejoiced in God my Savior," my deliverer. Now, Mary is blessed. She is the mother of Jesus, not the mother of God. Nowhere in Scripture does God have a mother. He's eternal. But she right there, she's the one that said that in Luke 1:47. You can go read it. "God, my Savior." A Savior has to be saved, has to save somebody. She's saying, "You're the one that saved me." Why does she need to be saved? Because she is a sinner, just like you, just like me. We want to honor Mary as the mother of Jesus, but we don't want to make her more than she is. So again, that's Luke 1:47. Then we get back to Luke chapter 2, verse 6. "And it was so that while they were there," I already read this, "the days were accomplished that she should be delivered." She's got this baby. "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes," and I already read this, "and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." A couple things about that. Jesus is born. The Savior, the Son, the one that had been promised. I want to read you from Philippians. This is a letter that Paul wrote while he was in jail. And he writes to explain a little bit about how we should have the same attitude as Christ. But I want you to understand what just happened. God is born in the flesh. Look at this in chapter 2, verse number 6. I will start in chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he was God, though it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. He became a man. Let me read you another one. Hebrews chapter 2. Because it is fundamentally critical, if you're going to find hope in Christ, that you understand Christ, that you see him as fully God, but also fully man. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The key point there is, he also himself likewise took part of the same, what same? Partakers of flesh and blood. God became a man. And then John 1:1, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word became flesh. In John, that's 1:14, 1:1 says the word was God. So we understand when the baby is born, God is born. God became a man. It's the word incarnation in the flesh. That's absolutely critical. Somebody that is a Christian, they're not a Baptist first, Lutheran, Catholic, Orthodox, whatever. First, there's somebody that believes in Jesus Christ. And you have to believe he was God born in the flesh to be a true biblical Christian. Because that's what it says right there. I read the verses. So let's go back to Luke chapter 2. She said she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in these tight cloth, put him in this manger because there's no room for them in the inn. Think of that. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, does not come in a castle. He comes in a crib. He doesn't come before royalty. He comes before animals. The humility of his birth is truly, truly amazing. And then we find out in 2:8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. We'll pick that up next week. Well, let me give you a little bit more. Keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, so you have these shepherds. The shepherds were the outcasts. The shepherds were the oddballs. The shepherds, have you ever been to the Middle East? And I have. I lived in Turkey. I remember I saw a shepherd once. And it's almost like he put a blindfold on, went through through a crazy low-end thrift store and picked out everything. I mean, he was not coordinated with his wife. I'm going to tell you, he was just kind of threw on any kind of clothes. And that's what a shepherd was. They were the outcasts. They were with animals. But those shepherds are the ones that the angels announced the birth to. We all do birth announcements. Well, Jesus' birth announcement came through angels to shepherds. And lo, the angel Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's why I always tell you, the hour of hope is for everybody. Because Jesus is for all people. I don't care who you are. If you're white, black, Hispanic, native, wherever you are, my Bible right there in your Bible says in 2:10, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Isn't that a good word? Christ the Lord. I just think that is so powerful to know. Why do we have hope? Not because of anything I can do. I thought when I joined the Little Methodist Church in Glasgow, Missouri, I'd gotten to God because I joined the church. The problem is I never joined Christ. And the Bible is very clear. We need to make him Lord. We need to identify him as our Savior. It's scary sometimes to think about, I can't do anything to get to God. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, it says it's not by works. In Titus, it says he saved us not because of righteous things we have done. He saves us because of Jesus Christ, which is that baby born in Bethlehem that grew up and died on the cross and rose from the dead, so we don't have to fear death. We can identify, we can trust him. I'm so happy. I'm not here to tell you this is the Safe Harbor Church program, even though I tell you I'm the pastor of it, or this is the Baptist program, or the Methodist program, or the Lutheran program, or the Catholic, or Ortho. This is the Bible program, and we're just explaining the hope we have in Jesus Christ, and that's what Christmas is about. If you're listening today and you don't have that hope, I'm going to invite you to pray with me right now. No one's around, probably around. You can go slip in the bat, wherever. Pray with me right now and tell God, say, God, I want that in my heart. I believe and I really want that. Let's pray. God, thank you. Just repeat after me. Thank you for the baby born in Bethlehem. Thank you for him dying for me and rising from the dead. And I really want that baby. I don't want a church. I want the baby. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so happy. If you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, there's a lot of people that prayed a bunch of prayers, but I'm saying, do you really mean it in your heart? Then you have the hope of Jesus Christ.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem.
See choirs of angels. See. the Five Strings, thank you so much for watching this video. We had so much fun sneaking up to the houses and surprising them with this production.
We wanted to share our light with others through our music, and it was such an awesome feeling to see how they were touched by it.
Nothing brings greater joy than serving and helping others. You can buy this song not by paying money, but by giving your light to someone else this Christmas season.
Get creative.
Everyone has something to give. Share your ideas in the comments below and click up here to get this song by pledging that you'll share your light with someone this Christmas season. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel while you're there. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
I can't believe we are at the end of the Hour of Hope. We have had a great time. I know I have. I hope that you have. I'm just so honored to be with you every week and talk about the hope we have in Jesus Christ. I would love to hear from you, good or bad, if you have some suggestions. Maybe there's a Christmas carol or tradition that you would like me to cover on upcoming programs, and I could be glad to do that. If you would just send me an email and the subject put Hour of Hope. My email is mathewb as in Victor, roman at gmail.com, mathewroman at gmail.com. Also, if you'd like prayer for something, I'd be glad to pray for you. I promise you, if you email me, I will never, ever, ever ask you for money. The only time I will ask you for money is on the program to support apradio.org. They're able to provide this program for free because of the wonderful contribution support they get from partners who could be like you. Even if you can donate a little money, that would be great. But if not, just tell somebody, please, let's grow. Again, the challenge this week, let's grow the listening audience. Real quickly, I want to run through the music that you heard today. You can find it all on YouTube. The one you just heard is "O Come All Ye Faithful," Epic Flash Mob Carol, hashtag Light the World, the Five Strings. You heard the Piano Guys, the Sweetest Gift, Craig Avon official video. Ann Wilson, Josh Turner sang "The Manger." I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, Civil War background. Bill and Gloria Gaither, Oh Holy Knife, live, David Phelps. And we're going to finish with Christmas Spirit Melody, the Collinsworth Family official performance video. So there you can go to YouTube and listen to more and find out more about their channels, which I would encourage you to do. I hope you have a great week. I just want to say Merry, Merry Christmas. Remember, Jesus is the reason for the season, and He is where hope is found. God loves you. Jesus came. And let's remember again, there is hope in Jesus Christ. Bye-bye.
It's the spirit of the season. You can feel it in the air. You can hear it if you listen everywhere. So much care, like a prayer. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. It's Christmas in the
caroling now.
blooms, but deck the halls again now. For we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Candles in the windows, carols at the spinning. Yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute.
It hasn't snowed a single flurry.
Santa's